Good morning. Today's scriptures flow like stage plays, with protagonists and antagonists, heroes, villains, and befuddled bystanders, as they all try to make heads and tails of what God is up to in the world around them. Allow me to deal with them in turn, first the gospel and then the Old Testament, because a fine thread connects both of them. Now, as far as plays go, the gospel really straddles the line between comedy and tragedy. Jesus and his disciples enter stage right. They encounter a blind man begging. After a brief exchange, Jesus suggests an unconventional cure for his predicament. I know that you've talked to all the best doctors and healers, but hear me out. Have you ever tried sticking your face in the mud? The Bible has a strange sense of humor. What follows is a bewildering set of encounters, a game of telephone that gets more ridiculous the further down the line you go, a who's on first routine worthy of Abbott and Costello. And if you don't get that reference, feel free to Google it after the service. The neighbors meet the formerly blind man. He makes his case, and they don't believe him. The Pharisees step in. He makes his case, yet again, they don't believe him either. The Pharisees summon the man's parents for questioning. The parents state the plain facts as they know them, and the crowd doesn't believe them either. Finally, the formerly blind man, exasperated, gets a little sassy. "Here is an astonishing thing," he says. "You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes, like I've been telling you again and again and again. What more do you want me to say, man? If this man were not from God, he couldn't do it." If this were a script, I imagine the writer would provide the following stage direction. A stunned silence that follows. And then the Pharisees cast the man out on the street. The only man who can see the truth plain as day. The very man who had been born blind. Now, the Gospels are full of stories like this one, stories full of irony and misunderstanding. And this one hinges upon a question, the very first question that the disciples ask Jesus in the story. Who sinned that this man was born blind, his parents or him? Note the assumption of culpability. It sounds strange and foreign to our modern ears, but the assumption is simple. There is something wrong with this man, and someone must have done something to deserve it. We have modern medicine on our side. We know about congenital diseases and environmental factors. We know that sometimes people just get a bad hand in life. But try as hard as we might, we all fall prey to the idea that people get what they deserve. I saw this firsthand years ago with some of my homeless clients back in Seattle where I was a social worker. Their severe mental illness had landed them in dire straits, and yet often even well-meaning people assumed the worst of them. Criminal tendencies, a history of violence, laziness, and a penchant for taking advantage of the system. All these assumptions took place even among people who knew better, which is to say, I was guilty of it too. We all fall prey to the idea that people get what they deserve. Now, where the gospel hinges on the idea that people get what they deserve, the Old Testament passage hinges on the idea that only the deserving get ahead. The reading from 1 Samuel today is David's very own origin story. The setting is Bethlehem. The protagonist, the prophet Samuel. The antagonist doesn't actually show up in the story, but he lurks in the background, the current king of Israel, King Saul. Earlier in the story, when King Saul is introduced a few chapters earlier, he gets the pomp and circumstance befitting a king. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechorath, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. He had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the Israelites more handsome than he. He stood head and shoulders above everyone else. This is the proper king, the very first king of Israel, whom Samuel crowned himself, head and shoulders above the rest. And yet Saul quickly makes some questionable decisions and falls out of favor with God. Samuel, therefore, is on the hunt once again. He must go out and anoint a new king. He expects someone in Saul's image, someone of wealth and status, someone who stands heads and shoulders above the rest. Instead, he gets the seventh son, the one who gets the menial chore of tending the sheep, the one who wasn't even invited to the party in the first place, David. Ruddy and handsome, maybe, but not what you would expect. This boy is not the kind of man who deserves to be king. He doesn't fit the mold or look the part. And yet, the Lord does not see as mortals see Samuel. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We like to believe that people get what they deserve. We like to believe that only the deserving get ahead. And yet the God we meet in Scripture, both new and old, is always in the business of overturning our notion of what it means to be deserving in the first place. We do not see as God sees. We look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God chooses the blind to help us see, the weak to show us what true strength is, the foolish things of the world to make us understand the wise. And if we are not careful, we are bound to miss it, to miss the potential for leadership in the unassuming and diligent work of the least likely candidate, to miss the presence of Christ walking among us in the face of a stranger. It may be that God will ask you to reconsider your assumptions, to take a hard look at how that blindness affects your daily life. Or it may be that today, God is inviting you to consider the hidden gift within you, the potential that you, yes, even you, have to help the blind see and the deaf hear. Do you believe in a wonder-working God, my friends? A God who takes a shepherd boy and makes him king? A God who uses the blind to help us see? A God who is less concerned with who deserves what than what God can do with a willing and contrite heart? I sure hope so. On this stage, you have a role to play, and the show cannot go on without you. Amen.